There were sand dunes in the distance, and rugged monochrome cliffs strung out along the coast, and druid circles, and hardly any trees, and bleakness. Although it was bleak, I saw beauty in its bleakness. There was a nice beach, and I had a little sailboat called Argo that I used to drift about in for hours in grand seclusion when it was not tethered to a small rock in a horseshoe-shaped cove called Triada Bay. I was 15 then, my head filled with romantic fantasies, some fueled by the mystic spirit of Anglesey, the thinly populated island off the fog-bound northern coast of Wales where I was born and raised. Some by the dilapidated cinema I visited each Saturday afternoon in the underwhelming coastal town of Holyhead, a threepenny bus ride away, where the boats took off across the Irish Sea for Dublin, and the Irish passengers seemed never short of a drink, or two, or three, or four. For my first 18 years, the Triada Bay Hotel, run by my family, was my only home, a plain building with whitewashed walls and a sturdy grey slate roof, long and low, with the understated air of an elongated bungalow. This 42-room getaway spot of quiet charm was appreciated mostly by holidaymakers who liked to sail, go fishing, or take long bracing cliff-top walks rather than roast themselves on a sunny beach. It was not over-endowed with entertainment facilities either. No television, no room service. In most cases, not even a luxury of an ensuite bathroom with toilet, although generously sized white chamber pots were provided beneath each guest bed, and some rooms, the deluxe versions, contained a wash basin. A lineup of three or four standard bathrooms provided everyone else's washing facilities. For the entire hotel, there was a single chambermaid, Mrs. Griffiths, a sweet little old lady in a black dress and white apron equipped with a duster and a carpet sweeper. I remember my mother being quite taken aback by a guest who took a bath and rang the bell for the maid to set about cleaning the tub. Why wouldn't the visitor scrub it out for themselves after use, she wondered. Our little hotel had three lounges, each decorated throughout in an incongruous mix of the homely and the grand, the most imposing items originating from my father's ancestral home in the Midlands. At an early age, I discovered that the Coddingtons of Bennetston Hall, the family seat in Derbyshire, had an impressive history that included at least two wealthy members of Parliament, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and stretched back sufficiently into the past to come complete with an ancient family crest, a dragon with flames shooting out its mouth, and a family motto, nil desperandum, never despair. So although some communal rooms remained modest and simple, the dining room was furnished with huge inherited antique wooden sideboards, decorated with carved pheasants, ducks and grapes, and the blue room contained a satinwood writing desk hand-painted with cherubs. A large library holding hundreds of beautiful leather-bound books housed many display drawers of seashells and various species of butterfly and beetle. There was a grand piano in the music room from my mother's side of the family, and paintings in gilded frames, dark family portraits hanging everywhere else. Guests would rise with the sun and retire to bed at nightfall. If they needed to use the telephone, there was a public booth in the bar. There was a single lunchtime sitting at 1 o'clock and another at 7 p.m. for dinner, with only two waiters to serve on each occasion. Tea was upon request. Breakfast was served between 9 and 9:30 in the dining room, and certainly never in the bedroom. There was also a games room with a ping-pong table where I practiced and practiced. I was good, very good. I would beat all the guests, which didn't go down too well with my parents. The sand on the long, damp, beige ribbon of beach in front of the hotel was reasonably fine-grained, but did get a bit pebbly as you approached the icy Irish Sea slapping against the shore. You could, however, paddle out for a fair distance before it became freezingly knee-deep.